Oh, that's right. We're right here at Sharp Facets Gallery. The sun is shining, and I may get a little shower later, but I have the Sunshine Man himself right here with me, Senator Floyd Nicholson. How are you doing today, Floyd?
And I'm doing well, and I hope you're doing well. It's always great to be on your show with you, and I, like I always say, thank you for everything you do.
Thank you very much, Floyd. That means a lot. Boy, I tell you what, I saw you at the Festival of Discovery and Blues Cruise. Looked like you were out there having a good time.
We had a great time. You know, Mammy and myself, we were judges that Friday night. So after judging, we came out and stayed up there till about 11 o'clock, listening to the various blues bands and everything. And it was just a wonderful wonderful night, and the whole weekend was just fabulous, you know, for our entire area, because there was something for everyone.
Yeah, I think you're right on that. And I think, wasn't it great, some of the old blues legends that were there, like Mac Arnold?
Yeah.
And we had him on the radio the following week in studio with us. What a great time we had with his gas can guitar.
Mm-hmm.
And Travis Moonchild Haddock. And God, you know, those are legends. And in this, to come all the way to Greenwood, I just think it's phenomenal.
It is, you know. It's amazing how that festival has grown and how it attracts not only the various teams throughout the entire United States, but the blues legends, you know, who are legendary. And I could just sit and listen to them play those guitars and everything, you know. And you know,
I think you probably get up and dance a little bit. I've been known to see you cut the rug.
You know, I say one thing. Blues and country are very similar.
Yes.
Those two music, you know. And the only thing I say, you know, if you're depressed, don't listen to it. You might go jump out a window, because all of it has a sad story. But it's good to listen to. I could just listen to good blues all the time.
Well, you know, it is the music of America.
Yes.
Uh-huh. I mean, we can say that is our music. They've taken it to Europe, but it originated right here in the USA.
That's right. And it's something that we can be very proud of. But, you know, just like you said earlier, to be able to attract all of those legends here in Greenwood, it says a lot for our community.
And I really think it was great how they were able to close off Main Street there and had the free flow of traffic and everything. I think that made a big difference and made it a lot easier for everybody not to feel so hot and so congested the way it has in the past.
Yes, yes. It was spread out, you know, and you had the whole area that you could wander, and just like I say, wasn't just congested around the fountain like it usually is, and
Sure. Everybody
shoulder to shoulder, you know, but it had spread out, and I think that was a wonderful idea, and I really just appreciate the city working with the state, you know, being able to do that for that venue. And next year, you know, they had a total of 90 vendors.
93 the actual
okay.
total.
Yo,
and 18 different blues bands were here, so it was phenomenal this year.
It was, and all I've heard is positive comments about it, you know, and everything. And you were very fortunate to have Mac on here. Did he have a plate full of blues for you?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, he's getting ready to open a restaurant in Greenville. Did you know that?
No.
Yep, and they have a special photography exhibit going on up there in Greenville. There was one photographer that followed him for 10 years. 10 years, and they did a photography exhibit. He also has, there's an ice cream truck driving by.
Would you like an ice cream sandwich? I'll run out and get you one.
He also has a foundation, I Can Do Anything Foundation, mm-hmm. where they take instruments into the schools and teach children. Their whole band teaches how to play the instruments, and they collect these instruments to give to the children in schools because music is so important.
You know, that just goes to show you how important the arts are in our school. You
sure.
know, it's so important because, you know, so many kids might struggle academically, but you get them in the arts, you get them an instrument, you get them a paintbrush or something, and they can show their expression and show you how talented they are there. So that's great that, you know, he's doing that because, you know, it means a lot, and that just goes to show you the importance of the arts in our community.
Well, it's great to see somebody 71 years of age giving back for all the good things that have happened in his life. To have somebody from Ware Place, South Carolina, go all the way to Chicago, then out to Hollywood. Do you know James Brown played for him. He was a piano player in his band. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah, okay. Did you know that he is the bass? He was the bass player on Sanford and Son, the theme?
No.
Okay. Did you know he was the assistant executive producer for Soul Train?
Wow, and you found out a lot when you had him here.
Well, you know me. I dig right in. Isn't that amazing?
It is amazing.
Yeah, and the video is actually on YouTube, and, of course, we have the podcast on our website. So if you want to go back and listen to it, yeah. We had a great time.
That is amazing. See, it's amazing the people you have through here.
Yeah.
And it's because of Aunt Ellen. That's why you're going to win.
Well, I don't know about that, but we have a good time here, and it's always a pleasure to have true legends and treasures come through here and be able to sit down and learn more about them and their lives.
So, it is.
Mac Arnold turned out to be a real treasure, and that was just from a telephone conversation that he was going to be in town. We asked him to come back and sit down for an hour. He played his gas can guitar and just was cool.
It's amazing, just like you said earlier, giving back.
Yes.
That's what it's all about, you know, when you're successful. Go back and give back to the community, help those in the community. Never forget about the community.
Sure. Absolutely. He was one of 13 children.
Wow.
Wow. Well, Mamie's from a large family.
I'm from a large family.
You're from a large family,
yeah,
too.
I was number 10 of 10.
Oh, my God.
Number 10 of 10. I said, Mom, I just made it. That's the last one.
But now, about Mamie? Did she come from a large family?
A large family. It was 10 of them also. And she is about number 2 or something. She's way up there.
Yeah, she's way up there, yeah.
But like I say, Mac, from
Where place? Lives in Pelzer now.
Yeah, and remember, you know, Bill Cosby had a show. You remember he met that lady from North South Carolina?
Right.
Do you remember?
Yeah, exactly.
So you're from where place? What place?
Where place. There you go. But it's been an interesting year, I guess, in the Senate. One of the things I was reading is that y'all were getting kudos for being speedy on getting stuff passed in the Senate this year. Is that true?
Well,
or speedier?
Getting certain things passed.
Yeah.
I will say that.
Getting certain things passed.
Yeah, I think a lot of the major things we didn't accomplish too much, but we did. One of the things I'm really proud of is the transportation bill that we passed. You know, you hear a lot of talk, everybody's talking about the condition of our roads, our bridges, and how the infrastructure really is deteriorating, especially our roads and bridges, and we know how important those things are. So we were able to come up with a plan, a transportation plan, where we're going to put some money into that program to start repairing our bridges and roads because it's so important. You know, it's not going to complete, but you have to start somewhere.
Sure.
So we were able to get money put into the budget where we can start. And a lot of it is reoccurring money, you know, where we can start repairing. Because as we know, we have a serious problem here. Yeah. And when we think about economic development, our infrastructure is so important. If we are going to be able to be on the forefront of attracting industry to our state,
well, it's already happening. It's already happening with Boeing down there in Charleston. And, of course, what all is happening up here in Greenville.
The upper state, right.
Yeah, the upper state. Mm-hmm. It is phenomenal. And, of course, that inland port.
Yes, in Greer.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, where we have rail, you know, and not just rely really on the trucks and everything. That's going to be a big asset. Because, you know, when companies come here, a lot of them have to, you know, bring raw materials in and get the finished product out. And they rely a lot on that port down at Charleston.
Sure.
So it's important that we have good roads, you know, and have rails. So we'll be able to get the raw material to the company and then the end products back down there to be shipped wherever they need to go.
And there's been several new developments down there on the coast. Myrtle Beach has a new industry, and several things are really starting to percolate. And if we can continue to attract large industry in the area, then of course small industry follows that supports the large industries.
Right, yeah, you always have the spinoff because there are certain products that they have to have in the larger industries, so you have these smaller industries come in to be suppliers, you know, to the big industries. So it's a win-win situation. It's a ripple effect. You know, you have the big company, and then those small industries be located throughout the entire state. They're not just there. So it's a win-win for the entire state, you know, and everything.
I think ZF Industries up there in Simpsonville.
Yeah, in Lawrence County over there, right. Uh-huh.
Just had their grand opening, didn't they? Yes, uh-huh. And had people coming in from all over for this. This is going to be, that's a huge company that has just really taken off.
Yes, and you look at, and the main thing, creating jobs, good jobs, where we have people paying taxes. That's going to help the economy, help people earning paychecks. That's going to support the small industries. So, you know, it's a win-win situation. Very proud those things happen.
And also good for Piedmont Tech because they're training the people.
Training. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it is good all the way around if we can continue to, what shall we say, upgrade our workforce.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the main things is having a trained workforce. Because, you know, the jobs now are different in these industries than they were years ago.
Sure.
The skills required are different. So we have to refocus and make sure that we train those individuals. They have the necessary skills to go in and get those jobs. And I want to commend Piedmont Tech because they work hard with those individuals that are going into the workforce, not mm-hmm. going to the four-year institutions, on training them, giving them the skills necessary to be able to get those jobs in those companies when they locate here.
You're absolutely right. Hey, I am here with Senator Floyd Nicholson. We are going to hear a quick word from our sponsors. We'll be right back. If you got a question for Floyd, pick up that phone. Give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984.
Gold, gold, more precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
All right. We're right back here with Senator Floyd Nicholson. Got a couple of things that I wanted to make sure that we cover in this interview with you, Senator Floyd Nicholson. I know you and Senator Hutto have asked for an investigation into the TB and what happened with DHEC and everything. How is that coming along, or what is happening on that?
Well, you know, Senator Harvey Peeler, who's the chairman of the Medical Affairs Committee mm-hmm. in the Senate, he has called a meeting of the full Medical Affairs Committee to be August 8th at 1 o'clock in Columbia. And we're just going to bring in individuals testified to get to the bottom line to see what mistakes were made, was proper protocol followed, you know, did DHEC do everything that they were supposed to do to make sure that the safety of those children and the Falcon, everybody was ensured, you know, when this occurred. And the main thing is get to the bottom line, you know, not burn from, and to put the steps in place that were not followed maybe to make sure it don't happen again. We can't guarantee it won't happen, but to make sure we have everything in line to make sure to try to avoid it again. That's what we run to get to the bottom line and just see, you know, if there are things DHEC did not do. You know, you've heard several things, I've heard some things. And we just want to try to get to the bottom of it, resolve it, and let the people know, you know, what went wrong or what happened.
Well, if it wasn't done by protocol, then what would be the outcome there? Where would it go?
You know, that's a good question to see. If it wasn't done by protocol, if somebody made a mistake, just see, try to eradicate it, change it, make sure it don't happen again, you know, and because, you know, everybody make mistakes, you know. And
but
I
some
know,
people are going to have TB for the rest of their lives, right? I mean, these children and everything that have the TB, it's at least going to be in their body.
It'll be in their body, you know, you know, it'll sort of like be dormant there,
right.
You know, it will not be contagious and everything,
sure.
You know, and so. And like I say, you know, TB is treatable, you know, it'll be dormant, but it will not have any outside effects and everything, you know. So, you know, it's just like anything else, you know.
I you know, on the surface, it looks like we waited too long, though. On the surface.
That's what I say on the surface. You know, we heard this and you hear the timeline when this was discovered and why things weren't done. And that's what we want to get to the bottom line and say, could things have been done in a more timely manner? And whose fault was it that it wasn't done in a timely manner?
Well, I guess we'll just have to wait till August 8th to find out.
Now. Right, on the outcome of that hearing, you know, and see what steps need to be made. And we're just concerned with DHEC, you know. That's the state agency responsible and everything. You know, you've heard a lot about the school down there didn't do things, but we're just concentrating on DHEC, what they did and didn't do.
Okay. And this meeting will be in Columbia?
Yes, it'll be in Columbia, 1 o'clock, room 308 in the Gresset building.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So I guess, will this be open if somebody
yes.
wanted to go to it?
Yes, it's an open meeting, open to the public and everything. Yes, all meetings we have open to the public, you know, unless you have some executive session. But this is an open meeting to receive information to see, you know, what happened or what went wrong.
Okay. All right. Well, I guess, that's not too far off anymore.
Oh, no, it's right around it. Oh, we're only talking about 2 weeks from tomorrow.
That's right. So will you be asking questions, or are you part of that committee? Or?
Yes, I'm on there. And like I say, you know, any individual on the committee, you know, is allowed to ask questions and everything. So it's open to anybody on the committee if they want to direct certain questions, you know, to individuals that will be there.
So have you done any studying up on this, or done any investigation on your own? Or
no, I've just been gathering information. I haven't talked to anybody at the health department, 96, anything. Mm-hmm. No, you know, I don't want to get biased and everything. You know?
You don't want to get biased?
No, you know, because there are two sides, so I'm just going to wait and listen to the individuals as they present their facts, you know.
All right.
I don't even know any families that were affected. I don't even know the individual that was affected anything. You know, only thing I know, it occurred at 96 Primary School.
That's right. All righty. Well, other things that are going to be coming are coming up or have happened. You know, I thought it was very interesting that Governor Haley vetoed the maize funding in the budget. And I know you gave a very impassioned speech on that. And in the end, didn't it get overturned?
Yes, it was overturned. I was very proud of that. I think Dr. Maize means so much to our nation. Not just to our community, and to think about, you know, the meager beginning he had and what he was able to accomplish in his lifetime. You know, advisor to several presidents. I have pictures, you know, I'll bring and share with, you know, pictures of him with Jimmy Carter, John F. Kennedy, a lot of the people that he was advisor to, you know, Sergeant Shriver. A lot of people, and, you know, he had a very close relationship. You know the book Gone with the Wind?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the lady, what was the name in there?
Okay.
Well, anyway, he had a very close relationship with her, you know, and you hear it in the document, and how she supported a lot of students going to Morehouse who were going to med school, mm-hmm. how she personally supported those students, you know, because of the relationship he had with her. But he had done so many things, you know, outstanding thing, and to be come from Edgeworth,
right?
You know, in Greenwood County, and to get there, whose father did not believe in education. His father did not want him to go to school. His father wanted him to work on the farm, you know, and to come through segregation and the things he saw, you know, when you think about. He talked about the riot of 1898, mm-hmm. you know, where the people were hung down at Rehoboth Baptist Church on Highway 67.
Mm-hmm.
How his father, you know, had to bow down. And just things that happened in his lifetime. But for him to go on and still not have the ill feeling, but to just think that education is the key and what he accomplished for our country and everything. And I think it's that we show recognition and never forget, you know, and let people know, you know, that you can accomplish anything in life. It requires hard work, perseverance, and having that faith that you can do it. You know, don't live in the past.
That's right. Do you know Herman Cain?
Yes.
Herman Cain's graduated from Morehouse the last year that he was president of Morehouse. Yes, mm-hmm. that Dr. Maize was president. And it was the only time that Dr. Maize gave the final speech, graduation speech, that he was the keynote speaker
uh-huh.
at only that graduation that Herman Cain graduated from Morehouse.
I didn't know that. I know it's a lot of famous people graduate,
right.
you know, under his leadership.
Right.
And he's the one really brought prominence to Morehouse College to
yes.
get it to the level, you know, and everything, you know. But, yeah, it's a lot of great people, you know, because, you know, when we had the dedication year, Andrew Young came
yep.
over. You know,
I interviewed
keynote,
him.
Yeah,
yep.
with
yep.
the keynote speaking and everything, you know. So the impact that he's had, you know, and everything, and I think just think it's great that we show respect and we can have those things to show people, you know, because the site has been getting many visitors over
yes,
there.
It has.
And they've just been amazed, you know. Oh, he came from this media. This is the type of house he lived in, the one-room school he attended. How you went to a one-room school? You have six different grades in there and everything.
Sure, you know? Absolutely.
Right.
Well, not only that, when we come back, I want to see if you can give us any update on what's happening on the road, naming part of the road after him. But we're going to hear South Carolina news and a word from our sponsors. We'll be right back. Don't you go away. If you'd like to call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984.
Watch the pros work outdoors, and you'll see why they choose Husqvarna Power Equipment. For exceptional power and performance, superior precision, and amazing control. Perfect your landscape with the same precision, power, and performance demanded by the pros. Husqvarna, professionally proven outdoor power equipment.
I'm Guy Harrison. You go see my good friend Paul Kennemore of Greenwood Saw Company.
Oh, that's right. Happy days are here again. Floyd, Senator Floyd Nicholson is in the building. Well, we wanted to talk a little bit. You know, we touched on the roads and you're putting together the budget for the roads. And two things on that. One, it seems like every time there's money put in the budget for the roads, it seems to go down there and through the Charleston, Myrtle Beach area. I mean, they do have more people down there, but we have roads and bridges that are in bad shape. How are we going to make sure that we're going to get money up in this area, Floyd?
And that's a very good question. You know, just like you say, wherever there's people, you have roads and everything. And they require maintenance just like any roads, like in Charleston and Myrtle Beach. And I think now the plan is a little different now because you have so much money coming to the area council of governments. And then they're the ones to recommend, you know, which roads are to be completed in the area. So, you know, Ava up in Savannah, council government have a lot of input into it now and everything for this area, for the six county they cover. So the process is a little different now, but it used to be, you know, when the president pro tempore from Charleston, the Speaker of the House from Charleston.
You're like talking about McConnell, yes. Yes, I know who you're talking about, yes.
But things have changed now because it looked like we were not getting anything up there. So things have changed now, so we'll be guaranteed to get some things done up on this end.
Now, you were talking about, you were saying that it looks like 178 is going to have some things happening to it.
It's in line to be resurfaced, you know, because it's in pretty bad condition, and it's a heavily traveled road and everything. So it's on the list today. Mark Pleasant was saying today that it's one of the ones in line since we have money, you know, so it's going to be one of those in line to get resurfaced.
Sure. Now, did you think that the gas tax should be, you know, the tax we pay, do you think we should have done something about that? Because the tax is very low compared across all the nation. Yeah. What do you think? Do you think we should keep things the way they're at?
You know, really, if you want to get things done, you know, a lot of money we get depends upon the gas tax, you know, and everything.
Right.
So I think eventually we're going to have to look at that, you know, because, you know, you just can't keep talking and not come up with ways of how we're going to solve the problem. So I think eventually, I don't know when, but we're going to have to look at that because we are one of the lowest in the country, you know, and everything. But we are one of the highest ones as far as roads that we have to be maintained by the state.
Yeah,
you know?
That is phenomenal.
Yes.
But it has to, and I didn't understand that, but I found out it has to do that we have in the state of South Carolina most all public roads as opposed to city and county roads.
Right. Uh-huh.
I mean, we're not bigger than Texas, but we have more roads that are maintained by the state.
Yes. Yeah. Uh-huh. You know, and so, you know, so if we're going to maintain them, we got to have the revenue to make sure that we provide the proper maintenance on them. And a lot of it has to do with the federal funds, how much gas tax. So I think down the road, we're really going to have to look at that.
Sure.
Just like, you know, we looked at the tax on cigarettes, you know, and everything.
Right.
You know, increase. And so we're going to have to look at it down the road.
Sure.
And I know a lot of people don't want to hear that because they say it's a new tax. Well,
right.
There's no free ride.
Well, you know, a gas tax is everybody pays, and so therefore, is it a more fair tax in some aspect?
If you got a car, you pay.
Right.
If you don't have a car, you don't pay, right?
Right,
you
exactly.
You don't get gas.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah, and that comes down to that's a use tax.
User tax, that's exactly right. Mm-hmm.
And the other thing that I understand, we spend a lot of money up to Washington, but the problem about it coming back is we have to match these funds in order to get the money back, even though it's our money, right?
Yes.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, but you know, I always think back, they used to say about Strong Thurmond.
Yes.
You know, say when he was up there, he was one of the biggest advocates against, you know, things coming back to the state and everything. But he said if he passed, he was the first one to back his truck up and get as much as he could to bring back to the state.
Exactly, exactly.
You know, so I think one thing, yeah, you have to have the matching funds and everything. But you know what, a lot of areas, just like Mark said today, a lot of areas, what they are doing, local options, say 1 cent, mm-hmm. generating funds, so they will have the matching funds to be able to get those things and everything, you know.
Yeah. Well, other things that we want to talk about that has to do with the roads. Mays, we were looking at a section of the road to be renamed, wasn't it, 178?
Yeah, 178, after you turn off of 25 down near Mount Pisgah Church, doing, I think, a stretch from there for about 6 miles, you know, renaming that Benjamin E. Mays Memorial Highway. And I think that's something that we'll be looking at when we go back in session in January, because that's something that the full House and Senate has to act upon, and we're out of session now. So I think that'll be one of the top items on our agenda, that is the local delegation's agenda, to see about getting that renamed.
Now, didn't you tell me that because it wouldn't change any the name of this of the road, that it would, it's more ceremonial?
Yes, because, you know, making a memorial highway, then the individuals on there would not have to change their address or anything, because a lot of times people get upset when you think about renaming. Oh, I got to change my address, I have to do all this and everything, you know. But I think if you just go with a memorial highway, it doesn't have to affect the people living there as far as them changing their addresses and everything.
So that what then that is what we are looking at with the Benjamin Mays Highway.
Yes, definitely. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because I think it's very appropriate that we should do that.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Now, what about you were on the group that was in the committee for the restaurant carry bill, correct?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Oh, uh-huh, uh-huh. Judiciary.
So now that passed. What do you think about that, Floyd?
I was not in favor of it.
Okay.
You know, the whole thing is saying having individuals who have CDL, concealed weapons, CWP,
right?
Concealed weapon, being able to carry their weapons into a restaurant that sells alcohol.
Sure.
You know, they cannot consume alcohol.
Yeah, I think that's a tricky part of the bill.
Yes.
I mean, how do you know? Until somebody has had a drink or had too much to drink.
Somebody watch it. You got to consider. You got a weapon in your pocket? Well, you're drinking. You're not supposed to be doing it.
Yeah.
You know, I just don't think it's quite natural. You know, people consuming alcohol, you know, it has a
relaxed you. Yeah.
Yes. Uh-huh. And they could be innocent. Somebody start somebody. They going to pull that weapon out and be the police?
Yeah.
I don't think we need it in those situations. Y'all be, you got your family. I don't think you'd be going. They talking about after 10. I don't think you'd be taking your family out to dinner after 10. No way.
Sure.
Know? But I just don't think you need it in a situation like that. I was totally against it, you know, and everything. And I don't think you just need them. Where serving alcohol will be able to take your gun in there.
Sure.
Is it that bad? If it's that bad, you don't need to go there.
Well, you know how people are in South Carolina about their guns, right?
Oh yes. Oh, and I have nothing to go against the people that hunt, you know, have their guns and everything for hunting. I have nothing against it and everything, you know. But you come by my house, you can come and check mine out anytime.
Okay.
You can't find it.
Can't find it?
Don't have a gun.
Don't have a gun?
Nope.
Nope.
Somebody might come and rob. But I don't. Seriously.
Yeah.
And one reason, you know, having small kids, you always hear about the accident with guns and everything. So
sure.
We just decided not to.
Not to have a gun. No. Mm-hmm. Well, the world is definitely a changing place. I mean,
yes.
It used to be in Greenwood, South Carolina. I don't think anybody locked their doors either, did they?
That's right. Used to be a time just to leave it open all night, you know, and not worry about it and everything. And I know safety is important.
Sure.
Safety is very important. But a lot of times I've seen innocent people get involved with guns and do something unrational and end up. One person might be dead, another one lose their life because they're going to be incarcerated for a long time.
Sure.
You know, and a lot of times, hot tempers, you know, it's And I have nothing without guns. You know how to operate and use it in the proper respect.
Sure. I understand. I just was curious on that one because that restaurant carrying bill was one that had a lot of conversation going on. But it did pass, and I do believe Governor Haley signed it into law.
Now, there is one thing, you know, if you don't want it, you can put a sign up.
As a restaurant owner.
Yes, a restaurant owner, you know, okay, it's a bill, but I don't have to allow it in here. You can put a sign up saying, you know, they're not allowed there and everything.
Yeah. Okay. And what about the raffle tickets for churches to be able to sell? Now, that passed, didn't it?
Yes, at least. And you know they've been doing it a long
time. I know.
They've been doing it, you know, and what they're breaking the law was something that wasn't being enforced. So, you know, and they know these organizations have been doing these raffles to raise money for various events long as I've known.
I think one of the things that was bothersome to me is that it was selective enforcement.
Yes.
You know, one was okay, this one wasn't okay. Mm-hmm. And when they were both charitable type things.
Right. Uh-huh.
All somebody had to do was complain, and it changed things.
That's right. That's exactly right. If you're going to have one, it should be for all.
You're right.
Exactly right.
Well, we are here on WCRS. I am Ann Eller, and I am here with Senator Floyd Nicholson. We're going to hear a quick word from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Everyone knows Sharp Facets Gallery only carries the finest in jewelry. But did you know we offer the three R's? Repairs, replacement, and restoration. Repairs from sizing to stone replacement. Restoration of your treasured pieces to their former beauty. Or revamping or restyling by resetting your stones in new mountings. All repairs are done by our master goldsmith, Richard. Only Sharp Facets Gallery can provide you with both quick turnaround and professional, reliable service. Come see us at Sharp Facets Gallery on the 72 bypass or call 229-6613.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here. Sharp Facets Gallery. Senator Floyd Nicholson. And somebody just told me it's their birthday Friday.
Reach 50.
Just 50? Wow. I'm so impressed. Two grown sons and all this. Man, I'm telling you.
Started early.
Well, no. 50 is the new 30, right?
No, right.
Yeah. There you go. All right, Floyd. Yeah, it's his birthday on Friday.
Have a little laughter.
Absolutely. So, well, that's pretty terrific. That means you're a Leo.
Yes.
Yes, Leo the Lion.
The Lion. Okay.
Yeah, all right. So that's pretty cool. Well, what else are we going to talk about here? Some of the other things that happened this year that you were involved in. Any particular things you'd like us to know about? Or some of the big issues that you think for the state?
I think a lot of discussion, you know, dealt with the Affordable Care Act.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether we were going to accept funds for that, you know, and I was in support of it because, you know, for 3 years, the federal government would be taking care of those. And we don't know what be the condition, but after that, it'll be they'll take care of what, 90%, then down to 80%, you know, and I'm always concerned about health care for all individuals because, you know, when you think about health care, it's not just people that are not working don't have it. Majority of these are working people who don't have benefits. You know, a lot of companies don't have benefits like they used to have, you know, health care and everything.
Sure.
You have a lot of people that are working that don't have health care. And, you know, I know from an example, coming up myself, I didn't have health care. You know, never had it until I started working, teaching at Greenwood High School.
Sure.
You know, and everything. And I know it's the important thing of having health care, especially families have little kids and everything, you know. And I think any way possible, we try to make sure that all individuals have health care because it's so important here in our state. Because a lot of people who don't have it, when they get something wrong, they go to the emergency room. The most costly place there is,
mm-hmm.
you know, and we got to bear that burden. But get them educated and get them a primary doctor, you know, where they go to the doctor and they have health care, I think it'll be a big boost and everything. But we'll be back next year, you know, looking at that and everything.
But that did not go through.
No, it did not go through, you know. But,
so what does that actually mean? I don't think I ever really understood about it not going through what that actually meant for the state.
Well, we don't have to participate in it, you know, but I think there's some kind of way you can be forced into it and everything. But, you know, I don't know.
Okay.
But we agreed not to accept that, you know, here in the state, like several other states. And then there were some who agreed not to do it, but then they changed their mind and said, hey, we need to do this. So we'll just have to wait and see, you know.
Was the question the fact that the state did not know what their portion of it would be, and particularly after the 3 years?
Yeah, and one thing, you know, it's a little cost of administration and everything, you know, they didn't know that. But after 3 years, you know, still they're only going to pay like 10 or 20%, you know, of the cost and everything, you know. But the main concern is health care for those individuals, you know, those hardworking families, you know, say, hey, I can't be sick, you know, I can't afford to go to the doctor.
Sure.
You know, I don't have a doctor, so I just go down to the emergency room where they have to treat you, they can't turn you away.
Sure.
You know, and everything. Yeah. So, you know, it's a big issue here in our country, health care and everything, you know, and I think we need to just do something to be proactive to make sure our lifestyles, you know, a healthy lifestyle, you know, that can try to prevent a lot of things that we have. But, you know.
Well, my philosophy on healthcare is that we have to be proactive towards our own bodies and our own taking care of ourselves.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, we had the exchange students from Korea that are here at Lander. Two of them were on the air with us Monday afternoon, and they were talking about they love the food here. But they have never seen so much food on one order when they order out, for example.
That's a typical example. You know, when you go to the area, supersize that for me, please.
Sure.
You know.
Sure.
And that's one of the biggest things, you know, it's good. The portions is one thing we have to look at. And I know, I know about the Korean students because I'm going to speak to that group next Tuesday for Dr. Park of Atlanta. During the presentation and everything. And like I say, because we've had the international, and I just watch them in the cafeteria, you know, when I'm working there, and they don't get the large portions like
the other students.
That's
right. Yeah.
That's right. So,
well, they have been having a blast here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been a real great experience for them. And we really enjoyed having them on the air the other day. And I think the comment was they enjoyed being on the radio show. They like the lady, Ann Eller, with the big smile and all the questions she asked.
Oh, you won them over. And I think we have a 20 in the group, I think.
20, yes.
How's the English?
Well, they're spending 6 hours a day on English. So, that's what they're here to learn.
Oh, okay. So that's just about all day, every day. That's okay.
And then they spend the weekends, well, I guess Friday, Saturday, Sunday, visiting different venues.
Right. I know. I think last weekend they went to Charleston.
Mm-hmm.
I think they've been to Atlanta.
They're going to Atlanta this weekend. They were in Columbia. They've been to the Biltmore House.
Yeah.
One of the young ladies thought that would be a beautiful place to live.
Oh. Tell it would.
Yes.
Tell it's for sale.
And but they just talked about, and the biggest thing that they talked about was how fortunate we are to have the blue skies that we have here. In Korea, they don't see blue skies because their buildings are so tall.
Oh, they can't.
They can't see the sky. Yeah.
Amazing. You know, a lot of things we take for granted.
Yes, exactly.
Take for granted. You know, I go out at night. This other night, I went out in the blue sky and saw the moon and everything, because in June, I hardly saw it because of the clouds and everything, you know. But a lot of things we take for granted, the other people are so appreciative and everything. That's why we're really blessed here in America, you know. You go visit other and come back and be thankful. We have our problems, but still, like I say, we are blessed.
And, you know, one of the things that Boo Young said was that the students from Korea, and I think even from China, want to come here to the United States, but we have a tough time getting our U.S. students to go to Korea or go to China to experience a different culture.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And yet they just, the Korean students just eat it up coming to the United States.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be nice if we could get more students going across the pond, across the continent.
Yeah, uh-huh, and learn about their culture, you know, and everything, because, you know, and they have to be aware of that, because, you know, when the students now, you better do it. You're in a global economy. You never know where you're going to end up.
Exactly.
You know, and there's other cultures besides the one right here.
Yes, you're absolutely right. I'll tell you one more thing. I was very impressed. They both wanted to help people. One wants to work for UNICEF with the children.
Yes.
Another one wants to work in an airport helping people going from one location to the other in a big airport. So totally different culture and thought process about what to do with their lives.
That's amazing.
It is amazing.
It really is, you know. And A lot of us never think about doing things like that, you know.
You're absolutely right. Well, one more thing. How did we end up with the security, the computer security, since the breach and everything? That was a big bugaboo. Did we ever get it solved down there in Columbia?
Well, you know, they put money into that. But one thing I think we need to really think about is people being protected for not just a year.
Right.
Because a lot of time, you know, if they're going to come back and do this, they're not going to do it right now.
Sure.
They're going to wait a while.
Sure.
So, you
know. Did we get that second or third year? Did they work out a deal?
I don't think that's been worked out, and we'll be dealing with that when we go back, you know, and everything. Because that's a big issue.
Major
big issue. Because, you know, oh, we got you covered for a year. Oh, yeah. They're not going to wait. It might be 4 or 5 years. They say, oh, I still have it because, you know, his Social Security number not going to change.
You're right. And they can be patient. They've got all the time in the world.
That's right. That's exactly right.
A criminal always has all the time in the world.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yes, exactly.
So it's not totally resolved yet, you know. It's going to be a continuing effort on that because the main thing.
Well, you know, the problem is it's not just South Carolina. Attacks are happening all
everywhere.
The time, everywhere.
Everywhere, like you say, people sitting
there. I mean, just look at the IRS, the NSA. I mean, you know, we could get on to the global part of this, too.
That's right. So, you know, it's just like I say, it's not here, it's everywhere.
Sure. But that is one of the things we need to work out. Now, did y'all end up with office space here in Greenwood? Did y'all get that resolved?
We got it worked out up at the Veterans Center. You know, we have office space
at the old library.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so everything worked out good. We got that worked out, you know, and everything. Main thing is when we need to have a delegation meeting somewhere where we can meet, you know, because each one of us have our own personal office. I have an office in the Greenwood building downtown there. You see, Ms. Parks has one in the funeral home. Bill O'Dell, you let his business up there and everything.
Right.
So, you know.
You needed a central place.
Right. We need to get together, discuss certain issues, have a meeting or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's great. Well, you know, it's always a pleasure to sit down here with you and chat about things going on in the state and in our area. Senator Floyd Nicholson, thank you so much for coming out today.
And thank you for inviting me. And it's always a pleasure to be here and talk to you real candidly. And I really appreciate the way that you're on the radio getting the word out to the people. Things that are important, you know, and they listen to your show and they are kept abreast of things going on, not only here in the community, but in the state and in the nation. You do an excellent job, and that's why I wish you well and tell everybody to listen to Ann Ella, because she had that smile, and she's going to keep you informed.
Absolutely. Well, you know, that's really, really nice. Thank you so much, Floyd Nicholson.
Thank you, and you have a nice evening, Ann.
All right, you too, and happy birthday.
Thank you. I'll tell Mamie.
WCRS right here in Greenwood. Bye-bye, everybody.